are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Fuck your vaccine card, you fuckers.
That's right.
All right. You want my vaccine card? Well, I want your life. So there.
There you go. And you can buy one of these at trsfightfast.com.
Damn people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it could all change, Leo. Could you move the Serious Growth Podcast here to sunny Florida with Governor Ron DeSantis? Don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Yeah, those fuckers. When I went down there to get my haircut, some people think going 3 hours to get my haircut and spend $100 is crazy. I don't see the connection.
Well, I would do that. Look,
Serious Growthers just do what they have to fucking do.
Serious Growthers, all I want, and you know, when I get my assistant LaCara, all I need is this. Number one, Emmerich, if I have a stroke, I just need skin cream on my face so I look young, and put an extra plate on the bar. That's all you need to do. Take a picture with my Serious Growth hat and then call an ambulance afterwards. Make it look like I did more than I really did. That's it.
Serious
Growth mentality.
Yeah. That was
your mentality when you were having that. You finished training your clients. And speaking of which, I got a guy commenting on the Silverback Inner Circle, Brian Purcell. Sounds great. I just posted your other thing from the non-serious growth, from the automatic body balance and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I just see that. Like you said, I'm all about serious growth in every single possible way, even when I'm having a stroke. Fuck it.
Exactly.
First, God damn it. Okay, now I'll go home. Bitch.
I was a serious growther when you called after the election, when I was in the throngs with Cover Yours, Kara, with Nikki, and you called during the middle task if I wanted to be the president of your Stroke Warrior Foundation.
Yeah.
I was busy handling serious growth, other business, and I finished that, and then I called you back.
Yes, exactly.
A serious growther does.
We're very focused to the stated objective.
And then I went to the gym after that. That has
exactly. It's just the shit that we do. We just keep like checking shit off. Okay, I got to drive 3 hours to get a haircut. Check.
Check. You know, the girlfriend needs to be served. Check. You know,
everything's done.
Serious growth. There's
now
no
recover. Now recover. Rinse and repeat. Fuck off. I went down there. I went down there. Those fuckers. You know, they're all, what's his name? Newsom, I guess that's his name.
Yeah.
They did all these mandates again, and everybody's Santa Monica's up in arms about their masking. And,
how can Robbie train with a fucking with the way he's trained, at Gold's Venice? And it's like, it's got to be like devastating to him. I mean, he's the guy.
I don't know if he actually does. I mean, I have a hard time believing that he would. Because
every picture he posts on Instagram, he's over at, you know, he's over at Gold's Venice every day.
But does he have his mask on?
No, he doesn't have a mask on. He doesn't get, I mean, he's 75. What are they going to do to him? He's, you know, he doesn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, because he told
me. Arnold might have him thrown out. He was the one who started all this shit.
Fuck your freedom.
That's the reason that they had to do the masks, because he complained about it.
Yeah, fuck your freedoms.
Once a month anyway.
Shit goes on and on.
Would Vince Gironda allow masks in his gym? Fuck no. Fuck Vince no. allow Vince would throw you down the stairs if you came in with a mask on and a vaccine card.
Shit, he didn't want you going and coming to his gym with earphones on. Now get the fuck out. Go down the street.
Everybody, listen to music. Fuck yourself. Vince, can I come in?
Yeah. Shit. I'm glad that Vince can't. I'm glad that he's not watching this scene. Yeah,
this is. I was talking to a guy the other day when I was finishing my cardio, and he said, "This is the decline of the American male." Could you imagine George Patton or George Washington going, "Hey, first I have to put my mask on, and then we have to get a latte at Starbucks, and then we can bomb Normandy." But I want to make sure I didn't hurt anyone's feelings first before we do that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like if Gironda was alive today, they'd have canceled his ass a long time.
Oh, shit.
Nazis. How many people he's offended. I mean, you know, even his columns where, like, you know, your testosterone goes up, he tells people to fuck off in his muscle mat columns.
Speaking of muscle mat columns, whatever happened to that guy? He owned the magazine.
Robert Kennedy, he kicked the bucket.
No, the other guy. The guy that did, he did that box where you could order a box with a Phillips, Bill Phillips. Whatever happened to him? Phillips,
he got the COVID-19. He was an anti-vaxxer. Now he's sold out. He's a big-time vaxxer.
Oh, yes.
Guy. Phosphagen. Yeah, he's totally, I mean, he's fucked up now. He looks horrible.
Is he in?
Yeah, he's recovered, but he's all, oh, everyone should go get the vax now. He's one of those guys. So, you know,
is he still in the magazine business or no?
No, he sold that a long time ago, but he was the guy that Miller was dealing with him. And what happened was Miller showed him what it would take to actually do a supplement. And Bill's like, my people are fucking dumb. I'm not going to spend money or time doing that. I could just sell them anything. You know, they're idiots. And he was just like, I just want to go the path less traveled. And he was the one that came out with that phosphagen shit. I mean, none of his crap worked, but he made millions of dollars. Oh, Leo, you just responded to Ed Sellers. Just do it, or Kara did.
I did? So, what did I say, Joe?
Just do it, because Ed Sellers is like, you know, well, these guys in the Silverback group, they're not ready for the ramp extreme yet. We kind of have to.
Oh shit, man! You have to say your prayers and take your vitamins before you do that fucking workout.
That's like, oh no, that's seriously like week two. I kind of a little bit. I almost heard your voice today, because I was going a little bit, you know, like too heavy. Fuck, I was like feeling good. Did the 315, then I did the other. I'm like on stiff legged deadlift, the Romanian stiff legged deadlifts. I'm like, fuck, I should just lighten up. That's what I did yesterday, and it cost me like 3 or 4 minutes in time to, to put more weight on there. But I'm feeling it like week two. This is, well, it's week three, but it's technically week two, because I'm going to be doing 5 weeks in this phase. Because
are you in base or boost?
I'm in base. So I'm in base. Yeah. The second part, I did the first 4 weeks in November.
Yeah, that's like right.
Super volume. Then I did the other one. And, but I tell you, it's kind of, it's like week three, for whatever reason, in each of these ramps, that seems to be the week that everything just kind of comes together. Like, you know, the numbers go up, the strength goes up.
That's that 21 day rule that the Bulgarians talked about. They were so right about that. 21 takes 21 days of a regimen for your body to start adapting to its environment. Then you got to stay in that. That's when you begin your entering into the.
You enter into a plateau.
I thought you said a hot tub. I'm thinking, what the fuck are
That's it. I mean, serious growthers have time to do it all.
So you enter into the plateau, and that's when people start freaking out. They start getting the CrossFitters mantra, better change, you know, the workout, instead of living in the plateau for about 2 or 3 weeks. And that's
the only guy that actually preaches that shit. Even Jerry Ward is like, you know, how to avoid plateaus ever. That's the big thing.
Fuck that.
Fitness. And
no, man. Most people want to avoid it like the plague, and you need to be in it. You need to play in it for a while. And then you got to come out of it, you know, because most of those people don't understand that physiologically what happens is that your brain adapts much sooner than the actual muscle does. And they misread that, you know, and they switch it too soon. So everything that you're telling me is absolutely, Kara Davis coming on. Do you see him? Everything that you're saying is your physiology is working exactly like it's supposed to, you know?
Yeah.
21 days of a regimen.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
Finally figured it out.
Cool. stuff.
How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm gonna guess by your background that you're in Vegas.
Oh yeah,
old stomping grounds. Yep.
Hey, Dave, that's Joe Breen right there. Joe Breen, that's Dave. I'm the other guy.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Joe. Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
Well, the reason I told Joe, Dave, the reason why I'm dressed like this is because I live in a socialistic state, and I don't want to be recognized. I'm in a free county, but I'm in a socialistic state. It's quite a dynamic that we have here in beautiful California.
He's like the patriotic Terminator, because the real Terminator sold out to communism. So now Leo is the last. He's got the glasses on.
Yeah, fuck. If I get recognized and I go down to L.A. to get my hair cut, they might not even take me in.
Yeah. So. You look pretty cool, man.
Thank you very much.
Did you have to wear a mask when you got your hair cut, Leo, or did you just tell them to fuck
well,
off?
We just put it down below the nose. I really wanted to get my fucking hair cut. I mean, I drove 3 hours for that. And these new rules again. It's sickening, man.
Are you getting your haircut at the place where Stallone's hairstylist, that guy Franco?
No, whatever. Giuseppe? No.
Oh, Giuseppe, no. Yeah.
I'm getting my haircut by a Russian guy. And I'm gonna tell you something. It's really interesting to talk to that Russian guy. What we have in common is that he's from Russia, and he came over to the States when Russia was communist. And I went to Russia when it was coming out of communism and socialism, you know? So he sees it. He says it's a sad situation to see what's going on, because this is the last stop in the U.S. There's nowhere to hide except the U.S. to be free. And he's right. Yeah. And you know what? I'll tell you what, I think what most people need in this country, it's kind of like back in the day with my kids. My dad raised me on the dairy. We learned how to work at a very young age. There was manual labor involved. I don't know about you guys, but there's manual labor involved. And as the generations go by, that doesn't happen anymore. So what I did with my kids is I made them, I didn't make them because they were good at what they did and they liked it. I had them play sports because that was my way of having them have to be in a sport that was regimented and, you know, all about sports like that. But I think what most people need, especially now, they need to go and be in that kind of environment and live there for a while and see how fucking good it is. Cause it's not worth a shit.
Yeah, I agree. I think the immigration should be like a sports team. I've told you that before, like teenies of the world, our relatives, they could be traded in, and let's get rid of half of Santa Monica. They can go to China or South Korea.
I don't even want to train over there anymore. Anyway, Dave, welcome to the show. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
One thing that we have in common for sure is that we're both serious growthers, right? All three serious growthers.
Yes.
Dave, you're from the state of Washington, right?
Yeah.
And then you moved to Las Vegas, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Year and a half ago?
Yeah.
How's it working out over there? Is everything open?
Yeah, I mean, masks everywhere, but some people aren't wearing masks at the casinos, and some are, you know, and it's just kind of a mess, you know?
A hot mess, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Stomping grounds. I lived there 12 years, so I know the area well. I still have a lot of friends in Vegas. I just moved out of there right after Sisolak got elected. That was the night, but I could see the writing on the wall. But it's, you know, the gym's there. Now I hear it's like masks are everywhere, the casinos. You know, people are starting to rebel because there's those people, you know, a lot of Patriots there, but then you have the Raiders fans all moving to Vegas because they moved the Raiders stadium there, and, you know.
Yeah. The thing is like with LVAC, they'll have you wear a mask as you go in.
Pretty much leave it up to you whether you want to wear a mask or not, just to kind of make sure they're not going to get fined or something, you know.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and that just makes it what a joke. Like, cracks me up.
I'll tell you, LVAC was regimented because I trained at LVAC back. I went in there once for one of their tours. And even before this whole thing, this is like back in 2009, I was actually there the day Jay Cutler, I trained in the gym around him many times, got to know him actually a little bit. And this was back when he, 2009, he was making the comeback. He had lost to Dexter Jackson the year before. And I was leaving as he was coming out. It was the LVAC on Rainbow and Lake Mead. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
In the Summerlin area. So I'm in there, and this old guy's like, and they follow you around the whole time. Like, this is back when they did hard selling at gyms. So the guy, he wanted me to pay, I think it was what, $1 or $2 to lock up my gym bag because they were afraid I was going to steal something. I'm like, do you think I'm going to take the 100-pound dumbbells and the leg curl to the car? I mean, come on. And he's like, as I'm doing every set, the guy's like, what do you think about signing up? I mean, you know, it's like the guy that was up your ass like hemorrhoids. It's like that was the hard sell, and you know, got to have a towel on everything, got to have this on everything. And
what is LVAC? I'm assuming that's
Las Vegas Athletic Club.
Oh, okay.
So they're all over Vegas. I mean, and that's, you'll see like Mike Tyson trains in there, Jay Cutler is there. I mean, all the top people were there. I went over to EOS Fitness for a while. That was kind of like Gold's. They bought out Gold's in Las Vegas and Arizona. And it used to be, it's kind of like now they're catering to the, you know, like the crowd that they're another group that are like bags on the floor Nazis, except if you walk in around Jay Cutler, you got to tell him it's when he walks in. And if they think you're part of Jay's crew, you could do whatever the hell you want to. But if you're not with Cutler, you know, they're really big on that and they're masked people. But in Las Vegas, though, Flex Loose just opened up a hardcore gym, the Dungeon Slayer. Who else? Iris Kyle and Hideki Matsu, they opened up a powerhouse. So it's like Vegas, the gym market is really growing there. I've told you, Leo, many times, that's like a place that we, you know, for our product, because you've got those people and the bodybuilders either live now in Las Vegas or Florida. They've exited California, like Gold's Venice now, they say, is like a friggin' ghost town. Yeah. I mean, it's just the guy, the masked Nazi, who walks around and makes sure that you have, that you're 6 feet apart and that you have your mask on at all times, even when you're doing the 300-pound dumbbells, which nobody does anymore. So,
yeah. Hey, Dave, I know that you, because you and I talk occasionally, yeah, coming from Washington State, are you doing a lot of personal training in Vegas?
Not that much. I'm trying to get more people, but there's a lot of people that are personal trainers here.
Is that right?
So yeah, it's pretty hard to get clientele when you have people who have been here for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So
how much are people paying for trainers over there? Is it like in LA? I mean, you got a few people that are paying over $100 an hour, but what's the market like over there in Vegas?
It's around 65 or so, but actually I know guys that are making 125 an hour
in Washington State.
Yeah.
And then are you still glad that you moved to Vegas?
Well, the weather's nice and all that.
Yeah.
But you know, I haven't, just work-wise hasn't been the greatest.
Yeah.
And everybody says there's a lot of work here. Yeah, but there's a lot of work here if you have certain types of skills, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't pay as much here as they do in Washington State. So, and another thing is my son and his little boy, and he just had a little girl, my brother's there and all that. So I miss them. So that's one of the things.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Dave, as you know, you can always go back. I mean, nothing's permanent except death and taxes. I hear.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that it would be a mistake in my mind if you didn't try that, you know, for yourself. If it doesn't work out, what the hell? Right.
Yeah. It's always fun to go do places and check it out, you know, and see what they're really like, because you can't actually get there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's hard to, you know, you can find out, like, you can ask, hey, what's it like on the ground? But it's like practices are never like the game's going to be. So you got to be there and experience it for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so just out of curiosity, how do you, I mean, if I'm being nosy, just tell me to shut the fuck up. I'm really good with that. I literally, my wife who tells me that every fucking day. But how do you get by and how do you make your living? You're doing something else part-time and then personal training part-time?
Personal training, and my girlfriend's a carpenter.
Okay.
So I'm a journeyman carpenter also.
Oh, okay.
So I, if I go back to Washington State, I could do that too, because it's, you know, it's $47 an hour there.
Yeah.
It's pretty good money. But so that, in, you know, we kind of split the bills up, but it's tough. I had a little bit of savings, it's kind of down.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like You know, kind of stuck in a bad situation. My, you know, the clients, you can, they could be making great improvement. Everything's going good for them. And, you know, something happens and they're like, oh, well, my car broke down.
Or yeah.
And then you lose them.
Yeah. You know, when I first got started 1,000 years ago, there was nobody, I mean, they didn't even know what a personal trainer was here, believe it or not. I mean, I'm in a smaller town especially back then compared to like LA or San Francisco. They were there, Fresno a little bit, but way back then, 82, you know, so I didn't know how much to charge people to begin with. I was charging like $5 a session, believe it or not. And the way that I made up for that was I've learned how to do group training, not giant groups, but you know, like 3 or 4 people in a group. And but my point that I'm going to make is that when I was charging that amount of money, I was the first thing that went when a car broke down or a washer went out, because I was a luxury. And what I learned about that is when I started increasing my prices, when I went to like $15 or $20 a workout, I got a whole different client. They could at least afford me way more than the person that was paying $5 a session. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's, you know, that would be the same there. It's kind of a tricky thing. It's like, I remember when I increased my rate, I thought, oh shit, this might just end me here, because, you know, people, I've told this story before. They thought I was when I said personal trainer, they said, are you aerobics instructor? They didn't even know what a fucking personal trainer was, you know? And of course I had to get out there, and maybe, I don't know if this would help in your environment, because it seems like it's, you know, a lot of people know about fitness and probably trainers, but maybe it's about educating people. I don't know, because that's what I did back then. I educated people back then as to why they needed me instead of the person down the road, you know? So I don't know. And you're talking about making $47 an hour in Washington State, but isn't it a price of living cheaper in Vegas compared to Washington State, or am I wrong about that?
No, not where I'm at. It's not cheap. Where I'm at, see, I've got a house in Washington State. I've got renters in there. So if I go back, I pay nothing.
I got you.
So it's, and it really isn't, you know, it depends. If you're in Seattle, yeah, it's going to be more.
Yeah.
But where I'm at, it's probably a little less.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure about that. You know, I went to Washington, some part of Washington when Joe, you'll probably tell me, because you know more about what I do than I do sometimes back then. The Bulgarians, I hosted the Bulgarians way back when, and it was in Washington, the state of Washington, except I just don't know where the hell I was. Do you, Joe?
I don't remember on that.
No.
Dave, what area in Vegas are you at? Where do you live at in Vegas?
Henderson.
Okay. Yeah. That's a pricey area. There's a lot of it. You could get, you know, like there's a lot of good, you know, gyms, clientele over on Eastern and the 215, you know, like, but it's pricey. Yeah. Before I left, I was living in North Las Vegas, which is cheaper, but you know, if you've been to North Las Vegas, it's definitely not a great area to be paid for.
How do you market your service, Dave? Is it by word of mouth?
Mostly word of mouth. I have Instagram, but you know, you have to just word of mouth mostly.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually the best way to build it, but you know, you also have to get your information out and know how to use this stuff. I mean, I have Kara and people that actually help me with that kind of stuff, you know. Otherwise, the way I did it back then was I just went around to all the service clubs and I just, you know, basically said, look, this is why you need me. And that's kind of how I got my friends and family, was where I started, and just kind of built from there. But it's, you know, it's like anything else. It's hard to build it from the ground up. It's a tough go, man, to get off the ground. Yeah. It really is. But anyway, let's talk about training. Have you guys worked out today, or are you guys pussies and work out later on in the day?
I got to work out a little later.
dang it. Joe, you ready to train?
Oh yeah. I'm in there at 4 a.m. like you.
Oh,
when I was in Las Vegas, we've actually had chats at 3 a.m.
Oh, that's right. I hate it when people get up late. I like it when they get up early.
Yeah. I used to talk with you on your, riding to the gym in the morning.
Yeah. I get up at 10:03, Dave, every day.
10:03. And that's what you get. I find that crowd is like some of the best, because they're, you know, more, they're more serious. Like, especially when I was in Vegas at EOS, that's the serious crew. Then you go in there at 12.
Oh, Joe, lost you.
Yeah.
Joe, you'll come back in a minute. I'm going to talk to Dave. Hey, Dave, let me ask you this. You're training now. When did you start using some of our products?
It was about
10 to 15 months.
Yeah. Okay. So you came on, is it Serious Growth or Big Beyond Belief that you've been using or used?
Big Beyond Belief.
Big Beyond Belief. Have you ever done the Serious Growth or anything like that? Has it just been Big Beyond Belief?
You mean some of the other systems that you had for?
Yeah. Did you ever train any of the other ones?
I haven't done the Titan. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Mostly just the Big Beyond Belief.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still currently doing that, or are you doing something different?
I took a little bit of a break and
yeah.
I'm back at it. It's hard to get in twice a day.
That's yeah.
It's a pretty big commitment, but the advantage of that is people don't realize is every time you train, you have that stimulus, you know, for growth.
Yeah.
Not only that, but every time you work out, you get that lower myostatin. So your myostatin levels drop and they're going to be down for a while, for a day or so. The more advanced you are, the shorter the myostatin level drop is going to be, like days wise.
Yeah.
So if you're training twice a day, that myostatin level dropping twice in a day. So that alone is a huge advantage.
Yeah. You know, the Bulgarians talked about, that's why when we first came out, our first program, as you probably know, is that Bulgarian burst training three times a day, you know? And boy, did we take some really interesting feedback from that, you know, mainly you guys are going to overtrain and people are going to get hurt, which they didn't, you know, because one of the things that you have to understand, which you do, Dave, and so do you, Joe, is you have to understand how the physiology works, number one. And when you start hearing people talk, you know, in that, and people are always going to talk and you can't stop them from doing that. But I think, you know, what one of the things that's always made me feel good about what we do is it's based in science and principle. And it's a lot of times, a lot of this stuff is counterintuitive. It always is, it seems like. And yet, you know, most people want to follow more of a crowd type of thinking, you know, and that's okay. It's not for everybody. But when you understand it like you do, Dave, then you know that it makes sense to some degree. And then it's just, I think it's just tweaking it for, you know, for you personally. Because look, when we wrote those courses, you can't, it's hard to write specifically for the individual. You have to write more for, to some degree, a mass. I mean, the system was pretty unique, but it was still written for more than mass, you know, because you can't for specifically. And that's the reason why you have to be willing to embrace change and try things, you know, to you take to what we wrote, but then don't be afraid to try other things to see. It might be something that works just for you. Dave, Joe, what about you? You guys, I know you've been around since the 80s, right? 82, Joe?
No. I got started.
You were born in 80.
94, the end of 94, 95. I was 18 at that point. I actually got, I was working at a grocery store at the time, looked at Black Belt magazine. I was actually in martial arts, boxing, football, I played. But people had always told me, I ought to give this bodybuilding thing a try. I was like, you know, I'm not going to sit in bikinis or, you know, shave your legs and all that nonsense. But my friend kept pushing me. So one day I was looking through Black Belt magazine. And what did I see? Actually a picture of you in a white, you know, shirt with, you know, I'm Kevin Costner's personal trainer, blah, blah, blah. I got to get this off my chest before I explode.
Yeah, that's how far
so
back
I went back. And then I first said, though, I'm like, well, Kevin Costner is not the most, obviously the most muscular, which you said in the ad. Okay. Kevin Costner, not the best built, but you know, my client. And I understand that now why you use that in the advertisement. So I gave that a try, but when I got into bodybuilding, I had no clue. I started with the Big Beyond Belief, what I was doing. I was like this new kid in the gym. I came in, you know, 18 years old. And within 2 to 3 months, people thought I was taking, you know, they're like, what are you taking? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what are you on? I mean, because they saw me come in from 185 in 6 months to 195 to 235. So in a period of 6 months, And that was even before I was taking the OTS supplements. That was like out of my budget, you know, the amino acids and all that. Serious Growth, the original Serious Growth, not the one that you guys are selling, which, by the way, everyone needs to pick that up. SeriousGrowthFormula.com. There'll be a link underneath this video. But anyway, going back to the story. So I started that. And also because I had seen this guy, this, you know, crazy blonde haired guy, Tom Platz, in the magazines, I had to write a report in weightlifting class one day. And I'm like, okay, I can relate to this guy. You know, he was the co-author. So I got on that program and then I started liking the results. Well, within 9 months, I was on a stage, you know, bodybuilding stage. Then the next year I did the West Coast, Debbie Kruk West Palm Beach Classic in West Palm Beach and won that, the teenage division. And from there it was on. And the funny thing is I would go through, you know, on this program, training partners. I had one of my good friends and training partners, actually you talked to him, Leo, as I did, Roman Hill. He was a big heavy duty proponent, the other side of the spectrum. So when people saw me in the gym, they thought I was overtraining, you know, going in 6 days a week, twice a day, you're going to kill yourself. Plus, I didn't warm up, but I didn't know that people actually warmed up. The funny thing is, because I started in this program and never did warm-up sets, I didn't know that you actually needed them. I didn't learn that till after, like the traditional Schwarzenegger and the way that these other guys train. So it's kind of different from, I guess, Leo and Dr. Horine, who started off with, you know, probably do, well, as Leo said, 2 hours, an hour and a half every day, and then wondering how I'm going to get a workout in 45 minutes. But to me, it was like second nature. So it was, but yeah, I loved that program. Then I did, when I got into personal training, there was an older guy in the gym, right after I met you, Leo. He had
How old is older? I'm just curious what you think fucking older is.
Well, this guy was in his 70s and 80s. He was like a
bodybuilder.
Yeah. There yet.
And believe it or not, he bought the Bulgarian Power Burst or Serious Growth. And I said, he's like, where have you been? I was like, I was just, you know, I met this one of the top bodybuilding trainers. He's like, who? I said, Leo Costa. I just was in Visalia. He's at his old studio, hung out with. He's like, I know Leo. You know, Tom Platz, they wrote, and he had all the books. He wasn't a bodybuilder, but he bought all this stuff. And he's like, I have one of his older books. So I borrowed it for a while. But the problem was at that point, they didn't have 24-hour gyms. So training 3 times a day was a little, much. So I went back to Big Beyond Belief. But then when I met you, this is how far we go back. You were just finishing and launching Titan, and you had your old studio in Visalia, OTT, for Guaranteed Fitness Plus, the Lover's Lane, the old, you know, gym, there was a restaurant with your picture in there. That was, you know, and you were just like, I've got this new program, Titan, that's coming out. And at the time, you told me you're like 4 days a week. I'm like, 4 days a week, how's that going to work? And the funny thing is, when I looked at Titan on paper, because I was used to Big Beyond Belief, 6 days a week, 2 days, it was actually Titan, even though it was less workouts, it was more, it's like, holy crap, I gained like 200 pounds on all my lifts on the Titan program. It's insane. I mean, strength went through the roof, but you know, as you know, because you're working with me now, we've evolved into different training systems. And even though I'm lifting way less than I did on Titan, I'm seeing, you know, better results at an age where most people would say you should, you know, be locked off.
And Joe, you kind of make my point. You got to be willing to embrace change along the way. You know, we've evolved and we just keep doing that. Dave, how old were you when you started training and why did you get into the gym?
About 18.
So you're 8 years old?
18.
Oh, 18.
I wish so it was 18.
You broke up there. I'm thinking eight, man. That's something else.
Tom Platz started at 8.
Yeah. So 18 years of age. So did you get in the weight room because you were lifting for sport or something?
No, I just like the idea of getting stronger. I was focusing mostly on getting stronger. And I thought, well, I didn't know anything when I first came in. It was just like, get on the universal gym and see how much you could press. And then you're going to get big kind of thing. And so I trained with a lot of power lifters, so we focus mostly on strength.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, I mean, you're going to get stronger when you're doing volume, but you're not going to get as strong as if you're focusing in on just strength. So
that's exactly right. And that makes perfect sense. And that's the reason why it's always important to have a real stated or specific goal, you know, is that you want to put on more muscle or more strength, because we want to put on both. It's what it is, actually. because, you know, in a volume-based training program, the secondary benefit is going to be strength. You're going to get stronger even with more volume. And in the program that you're in, it's just the reverse of that. You're going to get stronger first, and the secondary benefit, you're going to get bigger, you know? So it's just a matter of, you know, that balance as to what you want. And that's the reason why, like in our training programs, you know, we got down, I think Joe, maybe you can tell me, but I think we got down as low as maybe 6 reps or 7-8 reps when we worked in our lower volume.
It depends. In level 2 training of Big Beyond Belief, it was actually 3 to 4. And in Titan, here's the interesting thing is, like Titan, I made some awesome gains, but that's actually when I was the strongest. And I'll be honest with you, I was actually stronger on the Titan program than I am on this program that I'm working with you on now. But I have better quality as far as, you know, I'm more into the muscle now than I was then. Because the weird thing is until probably 18 or 19, till I was like 29 years old, I just lifted weights from point A to point B. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. I didn't learn until I was almost 30 that it's training the muscle and 3 competitions in and competing at a world championships. But with that said, I think in the younger years, there is a benefit to getting strong to some point. I mean, I was doing, and Kara can testify to this because, you know, she checks my stats every day. I was doing like 95, 105 pounds. And that's like bench weight on Titan. I was doing 305 pounds on the standing military press. And, you know, my incline, nothing to brag about. I think it was what, 395, almost 400 by the time that was done. But that was at the end of the 8, 6, 5, 4, 3 strength chest cycle. And I got to a point on Titan where on active recovery days, I was bench pressing 315, 15 to 20 reps without a warm up with, you know, and that would freak people out at the gym because they're doing 5 or 10 sets. I just walked right up to the bar and I did it. And it was no, you know, the body became its function. But with that said, I feel like with some of these, and you've been pushing this into my head, and you know, with the, especially with this new program, forget about the weight, you've been doing these videos. And, you know, I hear you in the back of my head and I'll take a plate off, but I'll get a more, you know, better contraction sometimes. And, you know, and I'm feeling with the volume, especially with, you know, now focusing more on volume, and I don't want to get too ahead because we probably can't talk about that on here. But, you know, I'm getting into a point where now the quality of the workouts is, so it's a different type of thing. But, you know, you're right. It's constantly evolving. And even with your programs over the years, I'm finding myself now, you know, things that you wait, I had to let go of my mindset from Big Beyond Belief and kind of come into where we're at right now.
I call that wiping the slate clean, which is very difficult, but talk about volume with lower reps. And one of the things that Platts showed me one time, and I never really thought about that. And I think he had maybe something to do with Titan training with the lower reps, but Platts said there's a lot of ways to create volume. And we were doing like on the rack, we were doing like shoulder shrugs, right? And all we were doing was like 3 or 4 reps. We do 3 or 4 reps and just move to the next dumbbell, you know, progressively. And, you know, by the time you get done doing 3 or 4 reps up and down that rack, that's a lot of damn volume. And you're doing strength at the same time, kind of, you know what I mean? Have you done that before, Dave?
Yeah. I think the difference too is, you know, I got so used to just pushing heavy weights, but not focusing in on the muscles I was working, you know, that mind muscle connection. If you're doing a lat pull down or something and you're focusing in on the lat muscles and not like super squeeze, you know, but just that lat muscle, then you're going to use less weight, but you're going to activate that muscle a lot more and you're going to get more growth.
Yeah. And we talk about the difference between lifting weights and training the muscle. And that's kind of what you're talking about. And it's a hard thing to take a step back. I mean, I'm of that mindset too. I love lifting a shitload of weight. And you know, I don't like doing it anymore because I don't want to be hurt anymore. I'm at that point now where I just avoid that. I don't mind being in pain. I just don't want to get hurt, you know, pulling a muscle or anything. Yeah. But it's a hard, it's a hard thing to, you know, to lighten that weight down. It's like a mind fuck in a way for a little bit. Until all of a sudden, I think what just, you know, convinced me was that it's like, okay, you know, I have to commit to it to give it a fair analysis, because if I don't do that, I really don't know what's working. But then it's like, holy shit, you know, because Robbie Robinson is that guy, because he was here at my seminar, as you guys, Joe was there. I know, Dave, I asked you to come by, but Robbie was all about just feeling the muscle and forgetting about the weight. And he's a strong guy. Don't get me wrong. But the number one focus was feel what you train, make every single movement that you, when you're in the gym, count. And that's a hard thing to do from point A to point B, or, you know, start to finish. It's a, that in itself for me, I don't know about you guys, is a huge discipline. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Cause I want to just push that heavy iron.
Yeah.
And you need to use the weight to, as a way to contract the muscle.
Yeah.
And when it gets to the point where it's too light, then you need to go up.
Yeah.
But it's easy for me to, you know, do it. Like I said, I'm using a lat pull down or a chest press or whatever, and put on a good amount of weight and do good form.
Yeah.
But not use that mind muscle connection. Yeah. If I use a little less weight, then I can actually get a better connection with the chest or whatever, actually get a better workout. But it's hard because you want to push that heavy, heavy weight.
You're constantly fighting. There's two people on your shoulders, aren't there? It's always like that, you know?
I had that happen to me this week. You actually told me years ago, as a matter of fact, I called you after a tricep workout. You were talking about kickbacks. And that's one. And there was a time, you know, I was still getting some tricep activation. But I was doing these, you know, 50-pound, but it wasn't as intense, the squeeze and the way you're doing it. And you actually told me on that phone call there's no fucking way that you're doing 50 pounds on the kickback. And then you literally showed me this is how it did.
You're
doing more than 10 pounds. So I literally went down to 10 pounds. And, you know, it was embarrassing because I was in Vegas. I had girls that were doing more than but I was squeezing out of it. So I had to put my ego like there on a Saturday morning. I was, you know, 3 weeks earlier doing the 50s and 60s. Now I'm at the 10 pounds and squeezing the hell out of it. But, you know, but I felt that shit. And that's really, you know, that's where it's at. And when I injured my oblique, I think 3.5 years ago, I was in Vegas. The first person I called was you. I was doing deadlifts and, you know, it's like tore the thing. Most people would call an ambulance, but, you know, as a serious growther, you put in a call to Leo. That's, you know, and so everyone else, I'm sitting there on the bench. I can't breathe. I'm like,
you're part of my coach, Joe.
Like, yeah, I'm like, fuck, this is, you know, I'm like my
shake it off.
He's like, did you tear a disc in your back? He's like, no, well, don't be a put. Just go back in there doing the bar for 3 weeks. So for 3 weeks, I was I went from 365. Now I'm doing like 80 pounds. I'm over near the old person's, you know, 80 pounds.
Hey, easy. Like, yeah. Fuck you, Joe. Hey, older people, watch what you're saying.
Okay. Sorry. More seasoned people.
I'm part of the old, man's woke culture now. Fuck you. Okay.
The 75. So now I'm doing 75 pounds squats. I'm doing, and I'll tell you something. And you were right. Again, you were right. You're like, look, you won't lose any traction. I was still making gains. And so
that's
I'm like,
what happens when you get older, you young fucker. That's what happens when you get older. See? Hey, I want to talk to you guys about training tempo, because that's also something that's kind of like, you know, what's the best way to put on muscle? Well, what's the best tempo? You have all kinds of thought about that. Dave, when you train, and I'll get to you, Joe, but Dave, when you train, are you a proponent of a certain tempo, or how does that work for Dave McCafferty?
I think if you can get that mind muscle connection, I don't think you need to go real slow. You can go at a moderate speed. If you go too fast, you might end up just pushing the weight up using momentum. If you get it to just to that right enough speed where you can still contract the muscle, then you're doing good. I don't think going really super slow is necessary,
because they did that real slow, wasn't that with Arthur Jones and Mincer and those guys?
Arthur Jones, yeah.
But I gotta tell you something, Joe and Dave, I don't know if it's like that where your gyms are. When I first started, back then when I was learning this stuff, we didn't have social media. I hate to date myself like that, but we just did. So we had to read the magazines, right? And I was getting really frustrated because, you know, by nature, I'm a pretty strong guy. And I used to read those articles, and they take photos of these guys doing like a certain amount of weight for a certain amount of reps. I'm thinking, how much fucking stronger are these guys than I am? I can't believe it. So I had to convince myself. I went down to Gold's Gym, and I basically planted my ass there to watch these guys train. And here's what I learned. And in fact, I learned it from the Mincer. And he was actually training, him and Dorian Yates were both training with more volume than they basically said in articles in the magazines. And I understand why they did that, you know, because that made them, that was their niche. But I think, you know, to some degree, it's a, I don't know if you want to call it a disservice, but I mean, like me, I could have got myself really hurt because I'm thinking I can't match up to these guys. Come to find out, they were doing a lot more volume than they actually were talking about, you know? And so you're, yeah, the amount of weight, the tempo is, I think, look, one thing that Tom Platts and I did, and I'll never forget that. I don't know if you, Joe, I know you remember, we were doing a leg as a Costa Platts workout where we were doing leg extensions.
Yeah.
We got to the point where we're just like bouncing and bouncing. And, you know, most people, or a lot of people were critics about that and said, oh, that's poor form. But what they didn't understand, I know you guys do, not only is the tempo a factor in the overall scheme of things, the amount of weight that you're using, the rest periods, but I think that what's even more important, I've talked about this before, feeling what you train is more important than form and technique. Because here's what I learned, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. When I was feeling what I was training, the technique was actually about right. I wasn't like in poor technique. So I don't know, what do you guys, do you put much focus on feeling what you train? Because what I'm hearing from you, Dave, and I'm asking a specific question, How does feeling what you train, and Joe, how does that actually fit into the overall scheme of the when you're training?
I think it's 100% important. Is if you're going faster, as long as you can get that contraction in the muscle you're trying to work, that's the most important.
Because you know what I mean, I've, as a personal trainer, I used to tell people, I said, look, when I'm giving you an example, a rep range. Listen, you have to understand that muscles can't count and they can't read. It's just a range. I'm, as a personal trainer, I'm just looking for fatigue and recovery because that's what the body understands, right? Yeah. Joe?
Yes, exactly. You know, the funny thing is, and it's funny because you talked about sloppy form. Here in Florida, where I started training, I'm here now. Back in the day, in the 90s, when I started training, the Mike Mentzer, the Dory Neitz, and Arthur Jones is very prevalent around here, okay? And everyone was into the 3 seconds up, 3 seconds down, and I actually did the heavy-duty program for a little while, you know, for a year and a half, and you know, I got results, but I plateaued and stayed in that plateau, but I was younger, and so I didn't get as affected by going to the failure as I would now. But the thing is, I would do those faster reps intuitively. I didn't know why. It just felt like on a leg curl to go fast, you know, and people would say, oh, no, you don't do that. Then I got the Platts Costa workout and I saw Tom and you doing that. And I was like, you know, I was off to the races. And then when I came out and trained with you, it was like a whole other thing. And I would be in the gym, you know, getting dirty looks because I do the leg curls when I couldn't go anymore. Then I would jump up like Platts did and do extra reps like that and, you know, have negatives and, you know, the screaming and the whole nine yards. It was like, you know, tempo is essential. Like right now, as you know, because we're working together. I mean, I take, you know, literally as far as rest periods, maybe 8, 10, 15 seconds, sometimes as short as humanly possible. Yeah. And one of the reasons I go so early is because, you know, I pretty much have the gym to myself. No one's in there. It's just like, you know, bam, bam, bam. And it was a crushing blow to the ego because with, you know, this style of training, it's like you have to go almost literally like, you know, beyond light, like maybe one plate on an exercise, maybe 50 pounds sometimes to get the amount of volume in there. But, you know, I'll tell you what, you feel and you connect to that muscle a lot more than, you know, the guys who lift, you know, 3 to 4 reps, take 5 to 6 seconds. I mean, I'm learning a lot of things now about myself that I didn't learn when I first moved out to Vegas. Right after Jay Cutler won his first title, I would see him in the gym all the time. And I would see him, he was Mr. Olympia, and he's only squatting 315. And I'm like, wait a minute, how is it possible that Mr. Olympia, you know, this guy, I'd read about all he did in the magazines. I learned the same secret you did, Leo, about fake weights. So, you know, a photo shoot, I think I told that story. I went over, he told me to pick up the dumbbell, which was supposedly 200 pounds. It went up like nothing, but he, you know, I would do, in fact, there were times I actually outlifted him. One day I was in, he was doing, filming a video and he was in there and I was motivated, you know, every time he was in there. So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put up, he did 405. I did 495 on hack squats. He did 495. I did, you know, so I was like at the next one, I eventually went up to my all time 725 that day, but he was feeling everything that he was training. And I'm like, you know, and so years later, now that I'm older, you know, I'm actually only a few years younger than him, but I learned, okay, he's right, because you look at like Ronnie Coleman, you look at Dorian, you look at some of these guys, and they're great champions, but they can't really train at this at the age that they're at now. And who wants to be? We love pounding the iron, whether we're competing or not. This is something we're going to do forever. And so, who wants to be at a certain age? And not only do you have to retire from competing, but you can't train anymore.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. One of the benefits I've had from interviewing a lot of people is that I've learned there's so many ways. You know, what stands out to mind is Tony Pearson, the way he trains. You know, he's very light training and very interesting approach, you know. So there's not, there's definitely not a one stop for everybody. It's really interesting to find out how, you know, we all get to a certain spot and learn from that. You know, that was one of the big things that I really came away with being in Bulgaria. It was like, you know, not being afraid to share information, to pass it forward, because I learned from you and you learned from me, and it's all good. Instead of, it seems like too many people are just, they don't want to share anymore. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about nutrition. What's your stance on, for example, because I think it's one of the things that people talk about, your protein intake. Do you have like a certain amount that you take? Like a Mincer was like, if you take 0.5 per 1 pound of body weight, he was really big on that. In other words, you didn't need much protein. What's your stance on protein?
I don't take in as much as I should. Probably I could take in a lot more. Yeah, I think you need to keep your protein at least 1 gram per pound of body weight. That's pretty well.
Yeah. And do you document that? Are you pretty strict about that? Like Platt's one of the things I learned from him that I still do to this day. He said, make sure that you document everything and don't try to remember everything. And, you know, because I was that guy. And so are you that person, Dave, that you document everything that you're doing right now, even though you're maybe not competing or you're, you know, in an off season or whatever?
No, I'm not as much. It's harder to get that motivation because, you know, when I was younger, it's like, okay, I just want to get as big as I can. And, and now you get older and you're like, okay, I can only
to a certain point anyways.
Yeah.
Probably 61 on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, and I stay around close to 280. So, but I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, so if I was younger, I just want to get up to like 350 or something, you know.
I'm gonna tell you, Dave, because you and I are pretty close in age. I'm the oldest guy here, which is scary because, you know, something now when I go into a room, I'm usually like in the top two or three older people. Joe, be quiet. But I'm usually the one of the oldest, if not the oldest. But I gotta share something with you. I got on to I'm doing HRT. Are you doing that, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, HRT or not?
No,
and he's too young.
Yeah, he's too young. But I'll tell you something. That's been a bit of a game changer for me. And what I do now is, and I really suggest and recommend people doing this, even if they're not older. I do blood workup, a full blood panel every 3 months. And I'm going to tell you something. Doing that, and I've got a doctor who understands this in a way that most doctors don't, because, you know, most doctors, the general, your everyday doctor is pretty conservative in their thinking. I go to more of a doctor who is a slash holistic doctor as well as medical. But she understands this in a different way. I highly recommend people getting a full blood workup done to check their, you know, where the protein is. I was surprisingly, I mean, I know that after the age of 30, your testosterone drops like 1% a year. But I got to tell you something, man. When I saw actually how low my testosterone was, holy shit. When it got up into the proper range, it was like the difference between following and leading. I mean, I'm a whole different person now. Did you notice that, Dave?
Oh, yeah. You know, your energy level is going to be up. You're going to
Man. Yeah. Because other than that, it was like my body wasn't responding like it should. I mean, it's like I'm doing all this work. And I remember the old days when I was younger and it would respond in a different way. Now I get it that I'm older, but shit, it was like drastic, you know? My testosterone levels are now at a high range. I'll tell you something else I'm doing that has really helped is making sure, because the thyroid starts getting lazy and sluggish, you know? So I mean, just between my thyroid being where it should be at the right dosage and my HRT, what a game changer. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, with the training, with the recovery, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's been a big deal for me. I just wonder, Dave, if you were on that.
Yeah, my levels were pretty low, so.
Yeah. Are you doing a cream or are you doing an injection?
No, the cream doesn't really work.
Really? See, that's why I'm doing a cream, but it's I go to a compound pharmacy and they're using special, I mean, it's testosterone, but we have this Chrysalin, I think they call it Chrysalin, which blocks estrogen. It's like an estrogen blocker. And I'm going to tell you something, Dave, I've gotten just as good as a result from that as I did with any injection. No kidding.
Maybe
I do it once a day in the evening. And I was very, suspect about that because I came from, taking injections like we did twice a week or whatever, but this stuff here, man, and you don't have to give yourself a shot. Hell of shit. I think it's great. But you don't think it works for you, huh?
Well, I've never tried it. I've heard some other people say,
no, I'm telling you, man, I was that guy too. This is amazing. Unbelievable. Joe, how about you?
All natural. What was that?
All natural.
All natural. But I'll tell you something though, to speak to that, because I actually knew you when we met, you were actually my age now. And I can tell you that looking to you, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, you're actually in better shape today than you were 21, almost 22 years ago.
I think
met you then, you didn't have the hardness, the density, as far as muscularity. I guess it was at the time when you were you swore that you would never squat again. You never wanted to compete again. You're kind of like in a different phase, not as excited about training as much anymore, as more of a cardio and just doing upper body and that type of thing. But I can tell you that, and as far as testosterone, and we've talked about this, your serious growth pre-workout, and I'm not just saying, when you take that stuff, the pre-workout, goes to work, and it works even longer than a few minutes. I mean, that shit, that's like legit. It doesn't, it's not fancy packaging. It's not as expensive as the old serious growth and the OTS supplements. But I can tell you, whatever you put in there, I was really suspect because you advertised it to that silverback crowd about increasing your testosterone.
I think Dave, you're on. You took some of that, didn't you?
You buy a couple? Really good.
Yeah,
good pump.
Yeah, I was telling Kara this morning. I said, everything in that product does something. There's a reason that it's in there. It's not just and if you take one of those products out, it actually compromises overall benefit. So each thing has like a role, kind of like a dog and a sled. They all work together to get a result. Dave and Joe, do you guys eat, how many times a day do you eat, Dave?
Usually around four
times a day.
Or five.
That's what I do. How many times a day, Joe?
I'm actually 3 to 4. I was doing for years the typical 6 to 8 that most bodybuilders did. And you were the person that when I came out for the Stroke Warrior Foundation to change my thinking and told me, look, 4 days, just try 4 days a week for a month, which I did. And I kept that going into my last competition, the Musclemania World Championships in 2017. And I've used it ever since, the 4 days, the lack pace and why eating 6 to 8 times, again, something that goes against the grain of bodybuilding, because they're still, out there and you've got to eat this amount of, and it worked. And, with this program now, I mean, I'm pretty much, maybe 3, sometimes 4 times a day, but that's it. It's just,
What's really interesting is, if you just keep wanting to have the enthusiasm to learn, you start learning some stuff. What I find very fascinating about the body, I speak from a point of, being paralyzed at one point, and I know how fantastic the mind and muscle connection really is. And, until this happened to me, I believed it because I believe stuff sometimes blind faith. But when I had my strokes, I really understood that there really is a mind and muscle connection, but it was really interesting for me to, even though your body is fantastic, it doesn't have the molecular ability to store protein. I didn't really know that. That's the reason why people were always saying, well, you should eat protein like 3 to 4 times or every 3 hours, and I didn't really understand why that was, but it was that line of thinking. But here's another thing that I learned, and this is when I started eating fewer times a day. When you eat fewer times a day, you get a bigger response with all the enzymes, your body produces all these enzymes. So in some ways it actually makes you more efficient when you're not eating every, you know, 6 or 7 times a day. It's actually less efficient eating that many times a day compared to eating less times a day. It's interesting that way, you know? And again, what you have to end up doing at the end of the day is you got to try it yourself. Don Ross always told me, you remember him, Dave?
Oh yeah.
I know you do too, Joe, the Ripper. And he told me something once. And in fact, it was at Gold's Gym with Platts. And he said, all exercises work. And I looked at him, he paused and he said, to a degree. And it's to the degree that they work for you. And that was a great lesson to learn, because it's like, you know what, I can tell you what to take, but the best way to find out for sure is to do it yourself. But to be fair about that and give it a chance. So many people just do not give it enough chance. So many people just don't give it enough chance to be able to make a conclusion if it works or not, you know, because we get impatient and we sort of give up on it, or we do too many things at one time. And, you know, one of the things about as all both through all three of us know is that becoming someone who stays in the game. I mean, I've been now in the game 40 years training, and I will be in the gym training probably when I go down, because that's just who I am. It's I told Kara the other day, I said, I'm not religious, but bodybuilding is like a religion to me. It is.
Your growth is a religion. And you're going to be like that article you wrote about Platts. You guys will be in the nursing home and doing squat Platts. There's going to be a squat rack set up near,
you know, and the thing about it is, if you don't have that mindset, as we're wrapping this thing up, if you don't have that mindset that you're, it's like the creed I talk about, where you question everything, you know, and you make this something that you do day in and day out. It doesn't matter if you have a hangnail, you're sick, fuck that. You know, if you can't go, you can't go, but you know, otherwise you go. I don't know, man. I would be in a whole different spot if I didn't have bodybuilding in my background. And yet at one point, listen, maybe it has something to do when I went down, and the reason it wasn't for one thing that I did, it was living life in extreme behavior in all aspects of my life. And I think that was where the real problem was. You know, it wasn't just something I was taking. It was working 16 hours a day. It was, you know, it was not sleeping properly. It was being stressed out. You know, all those things play a factor. And I guess why I think it's really important now is because something like this did happen to me. And I highly recommend this, Dave, and this maybe pertains a little bit more to you than Joe and me. Pertains to you and I, Dave, rather than Joe, is that I think that what you have to do and to stay in the game now is you got to pay attention to what's going on with your body. You pay attention to those alerts that your body's trying to tell you. It's trying to communicate with you all the time. Pay attention to that shit.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that one of the things I can't handle is I can't live a flat life. I'm too emotional. I'm high strung and I need to get stressed out. I need that shit to make me work. What I figured out, because especially because I had the strokes, I said, fuck it. What am I going to do? Not train anymore? I can't deal with that. I'd rather be dead. I mean, fuck that. But what I learned is the things I just tell you about, pay attention to your body and compartmentalize things. You know, it's okay to be stressed out. It's just not okay to be stressed out chronically. So give it its due. Get stressed out. Be passionate about what you do. And then put that shit in a box. Move on. And that's that exercise right there in itself is very difficult to do.
Yeah. I wanted to tell Joe about that little story about the guy. My buddy doing the shrugs for a
minute. What was that?
A friend of mine was the guy who came into the gym and he had these really big traps, right? And I asked him how he got his traps so big. And he said, I used to do shrugs every single day. He would go up and he would squeeze them, you know. And he would do 20 reps, 4 sets of 20 every day. In 3 years, his traps were huge, big, a massive trap, right?
Yeah.
I said, well, what kind of weight were you using? This is the crazy thing. He had those concrete weights. And he said he only had 110 pounds. So he never went up in weight. He just did the 110.
Yeah.
His traps were huge.
Yep.
So I see him training for the next 5 years. And he was doing heavy weights, you know, deadlift 600 pounds, heavy weights. His body hardly ever changed, even though he's training super heavy. And I said, so how's it going?
He goes, you know, I'm just trying to put on some size, man.
I go, Well, maybe you should go do what you did for your
job. Yeah. Yeah. No yeah. kidding. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to, yeah, you just got to look back and take a breath and look back to see where you were so you can move forward, you know. And I always, when people say, is it about volume or is it about strength? I just keep flashing on this guy. And I think his name was Eric. And I can't think of his name. He was a speed skater. Yeah. And he had huge, defined legs. And I'm thinking, okay, that guy didn't spend as much room in the weight room as he did just doing that exercise, that skating back and forth, developing that leg work, you know, and that said something to me right there. Anyway, listen, guys, I'm going to get, it's time to wrap this baby up. Dave, thanks for coming on. I wanted to get you and Joe, just because we have this common thing of not only training, but we all worked out on the same program to some degree and learning about, you know, things that work for you guys. And I think it's just good for us to all be out there just sharing information. If there's anything that we need to share, we come and do that on this kind of a platform. So I appreciate you taking the time. Dave or Joe, is there anything else that you guys would like to mention or bring up before we exit?
No, just that it's a pleasure to be on here. It's a pleasure to be on here with you and Dave and to get to, you know, share these stories, yeah, our serious growth journey, which is still continuing.
Yes.
And, I think let's do it again and let's see what we can all do to educate and to share maybe seminars or webinars or whatever. And let's, you know, yeah, get the word out there to others.
By the way, Dave, you're looking pretty big on camera. Is it an illusion?
Thanks.
Are you Photoshop? Damn it. The reason why I'm all dressed up, I lied. I said I was doing it for socialistic, not being discovered. I'm really puny. I'm 140 pounds underneath.
Yeah.
All
shit. 240.
240. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It's always fun getting together with you and talking.
Yeah. Let's do this again. And listen, I urge you, you know, part of the reason why I do these podcasts is because I want people to reach out. I'm always interested in hearing what they have to say and maybe something that they've discovered as far as a move or whatever, because I'm open-minded that way. So I really appreciate you guys coming on. And yeah, again, like Joe said, let's do this again sometime. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good talking to you. Ciao.
All right, take it easy.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.